Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known, and from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which You have made known to us in Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of His robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above Him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And He said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And He said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 138. It can be found in the insert. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name.
Because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name.
And your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth,
they will sing of the ways of the Lord.
Their great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly.
He receives the mighty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe.
You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his promise for me.
O Lord, have long endured forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in him in vain. For I handed on to you of the first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the disciples. Last of all, to the one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was what I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw the two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it a little way from the shore. They sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have been working all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The gospel of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So remember last month, it was almost a full month ago, that we had the super blood red moon, full lunar eclipse all at the same time. Of course, we couldn't see it because it was snowing and cloudy, but it was about 2 days after that. I didn't get to see the eclipse, but I saw the moon. I was driving home, and huge and low and red. And I thought about, you know, the super huge blood red full lunar eclipse is unusual. It doesn't happen very often. And I think about the ancients and what they must have thought when they saw that. It is pretty awesome, but they also thought of it as maybe a magical or mystical, or it had power to it. And I can understand how the ancients believed that the sun went around the earth. You know, it comes up, it goes down, it comes up, it goes down, so it makes sense that it went around the earth. And they also believed that the moon had light of its own, that the moon shined on us, and sometimes it was obscured and sometimes it wasn't. And of course, now we know that actually we go around the sun and that we spin and that the moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon doesn't have its own light. And I still think that's pretty amazing to, you know, it hurts my head to think, and then how does the eclipse happen and the supermoon and all that sort of stuff. But we look at it and we say, wow, that's amazing. Wow. But what I think is really amazing and really is mystical is the power of God's word. God spoke that into being. God spoke and the moon and the stars and the earth were created. God gave the day light and the night, the stars and the moon to shine upon us. And I think about the season of Epiphany, that the season of Epiphany is Jesus' light shining in the darkness. That light that we had been looking for, that we had been seeking, that sign of hope that we had wanted. And in the last week, when we talked about Jeremiah being called, it shifted a little bit from where we see the glory of the Lord, the light shining in the darkness, to then others being called to shine that light forth. So Jeremiah last week, he said, you know, I'm a young boy. I don't have the words. I'm not sure. But God called him as a prophet and said, "I'm with you, and I will give you the words." And through that, Jeremiah spoke the words of God to the people of Israel. And his light shone, God's light shone, through Jeremiah onto the people of Israel, bringing them the words of hope. This week we hear the call of Isaiah, which is a little bit different, but it starts out very majestic image. Isaiah sees in a vision the throne room with God sitting on the throne, and the hem of his robe filled the whole room, and seraphs were flying around him, six wings on each, flying around and singing. The room was filled with the sound of their voice, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of hosts, heaven and earth are filled with your glory." And we say that every week, but the idea of God's glory, it's God's light, God's power shining out into the world. And I think about Moses. When Moses went up on the mountain and he spoke with God, his face shone so bright that he had to cover his face with a veil because it frightened the people. But I also think about when a little baby smiles and giggles, the light that shines from them. You can't help but love that face and love that giggle, because the light of God is shining. The glory of God shines through these little children, and sometimes even through us. So Isaiah, the minute he sees all of this, the immenseness of God and the seraphs flying around, "Holy, holy, holy," he says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with people of unclean lips. And I have seen the glory of the Lord face to face." And I can only imagine when we see God face to face or meet Jesus, how we might fall to our knees and say, "Woe is me, because I know what I have done." But the glory of the Lord is shining upon him, and the seraph comes to him and touches his lips and says, "Now that I have touched your lips," he said, "your guilt has departed and your sin has been blotted out." And I think of the power of God and Jesus to shine their light upon us in a way that it blots out our sin and forgives us. So that although that bright light is shining upon us and we are well aware of every mistake we've ever made, God's glory and mercy also shines upon us at the same time, so that we feel that odd mix of joy and humility and our humanity and hope and possibility. And so as Isaiah is feeling all these feelings, God says, "Whom shall we send?" And Isaiah, uncharacteristically for prophets, says, "Here am I, send me." Last week we talked a little bit about call, about each one of us has a call, and it's that desire deep within us that kind of compels us and impels us to do things. And we know that in that call is the presence of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is urging, inviting, prodding, but also comforting and leading and directing. And so Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." And when he goes forth, the light of God shines through him to the people of Israel. And at first it's not easy, because he's telling them everything that they've ever done wrong. And God says, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to believe you. And to have the hope reside in him, even though he knows that nobody's going to listen and nobody's going to believe. But then when he starts giving a message of hope, and there will be a son, and this son will be the wonderful counselor, and the people hear that message of hope and they start to change their behavior, because that message of hope gives them a sense of hope that someday we will be redeemed, that there is hope in this world. And so we come to today's gospel. It's the 5th chapter of Luke. Jesus has been starting his ministry around the region, spreading the word of God and the power of God through that word. And he goes to the Lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, same place. And he sees the fishermen out cleaning their nets. And he says, He sees two boats and he says, take me out into the lake, because the people were swarming around him, eager to hear the word of God. And when you're on the Sea of Galilee and you see the hillsides, you know, it's quite a drop down to the Sea of Galilee. But if you're in a boat, it acts like an amphitheater. And so he could speak in a normal voice, and the people gathered on the hillsides could hear him clearly. And so he spoke the word of God to the people who had gathered. And then he said to the fishermen, go out into deep waters. And so Simon Peter says to him, we were fishing all night and didn't catch a thing, but only say the word and I will do it. And that phrase really struck me. Only say the word and I will do it. We've often heard, only say the word and I shall be healed. Simon Peter, in that trust that he offers, not knowing really who Jesus is, he had not yet been called. And the boats go out, and of course they get this huge amount of fish. Huge amount of fish. The nets are starting to tear. And they call the other boat over, help us, help us. And they put all the fish in the boats, and the boats are almost sinking from the huge catch. And Simon Peter falls to his knees, and he says, and I lost what is, he also says, I'm a sinful man, go away from me, Lord. And he turns in shame from this. He can see the glory, he can see the miracle. And Jesus says to him, do not be afraid, for you will catch people. And it says that they immediately put down their nets and followed him, followed Jesus. And I think how often when we're feeling that sense of shame and guilt and sin, how we need to hear that word, do not be afraid, for I have called you. And what I love in this story is a couple of different things. So the first calling of Simon Peter is involved with fishing and a miracle that happens. And the point isn't the miracle. The point is that Simon Peter sees Jesus, falls to his knees. But if you think of the end of the Gospels, it's where they have been fishing again. And that's the second time that Jesus calls Simon Peter to then be a leader in the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. So the first call to Simon Peter and the disciples is to come and follow me. Learn about me. Learn what your gifts are. And then the second call, build the church here. We're going to build on you. But the other thing that captured my imagination this week was that the Greek word for catch, you will catch people, is not how you catch fish and kill them and eat them. It's where you catch somebody who's falling, somebody who's in danger. You will catch people. Other people just like you who are falling into sin or slavery or whatever, and you will offer them the same grace and freedom through me. What an amazing image that we are called, each one of us is called to follow Jesus and then to catch people. Help catch other people who are falling into hard times, and then show the light of God to them so that they too may be saved and live free. So just like the sun shines on the moon and we see the light of the sun through the moon, God's light shines upon us. And I pray that others can see the light of God through us. And so this week I want to ask you, how does his light shine through you? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together in the Nicene Creed, found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People is Form 6, to be found on page 392. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friends, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For Michael, our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and for all the bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
For Mary Beth, Michael Adams, for Holly and Dawn, Muriel, Charlie, Heather, Renee, Chanel, for our brothers and sisters serving the military.
For Lindsay, Doug, Jamie, Michelle, those suffering from addiction, community leaders.
We pray for Joe, Anna, Ann, Nancy, Ava Marie, Alexander, Sandra, James R., and the school district.
We pray for Blair, Owen, Miles, John, Joan, food pantry, firefighters, and ambulance volunteers, and all first responders.
Hear us, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Let their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us,
most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Things done and left undone. And so hold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
What a beautiful sunny day, even if it's a little bit crisp. The wind has stopped, you know.
Hallelujah.
It's perfect. It's just perfect. So please do join us downstairs for coffee hour. I lived in New Orleans for a number of years, and I see that that tradition has come here today. So please do join us for coffee hour. Couple of announcements. In the back is a card for Seth. He is a new assignment, and so we do want to keep in touch with him. So please do take a moment to sign the card for Seth at the back. Youth group is tonight at the Methodist Church, so please keep us in your prayer. And if you know any 7th through 12th graders, send them over. Vestry meeting is this week, and so please keep us in prayer as well as we meet on Wednesday night. I'm sure there were other things I was supposed to remember. Are there any announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice of love. Eucharistic Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer, page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection unto your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Post-communion prayer is on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.